Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show. CJAD 800.
Certainly are. 514-790-0800 is our number. You can call now. A couple of lines are open if you want to talk to Walter Assey from Renovco. Back after a week off. Rested or right back at it? Hit the ground running as soon as the plane landed.
My God, man. I actually regret going. I heard that you really missed me, so I had to come back.
We did. Jimmy was inconsolable.
I know. I saw it. He came and he hugged me when he saw me today. Well, yeah.
It's good to have you back.
Yeah, thank you.
Our friends from Electric Home Services have filled in last week while you were away. So we're going to put you to work. You ready to talk to Robert out in Kirkland?
Of course.
All right. Let me bring him up here. Again, 514-790-0800. If you have something you'd like to talk to Walter about in terms of your home improvement, a home project, maybe a little guidance is all you're looking for, we've got the guy here. Robert, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. I have a question regarding it's an electrical issue that I did. I have. So I installed a manual transfer switch to accommodate the generator. Mm-hmm. And so the electrician had to go from the outside and they had to punch a hole through my foundation to go inside to the panel. So to connect to the main disconnect. Now, my concern is the hole that was drilled in the foundation is about an inch and a half away from the ground. The electrician is telling me that's not an issue. Water infiltration shouldn't happen. Everything is okay. Is that the case? I'm just a little bit concerned because he could have gone up 4 or 5 inches from the ground, but for whatever reason, he chose to go about an inch and a half down.
Hmm. Okay.
So
the answer to your question is a yes and a no at the same time. I'm just going to try to explain it just to simplify it for you. The good news is that you are above ground. So even if it's an inch and a half, there's no hydrostatic pressure to push through the water in. Having said that, it's more often than not that different trades, they do holes in foundations, they fit in a pipe, but they do not do any type of water membraning around that pipe. So if they have not done any caulking, then you're definitely going to have some water coming in, specifically when you're going to have accumulation of snow in that area and the snow melts. That's when you're going to have some water in. So what I would recommend, I mean, did he do any type of caulking around that hole or...
No, he didn't, and only because that's something that I was going to look into, because he just wanted to put like a mortar fix around and I don't think that was going to be good enough. So
that would not have worked. That would have actually cracked in no time. So I would definitely look into doing caulking around it. That will work a lot better, okay?
Okay.
But you're right. I see where you're coming from. If we would have went a bit higher, it would have been better because you would have had less accumulation of snow and ice. And you're very close. When you're an inch and a half, you're very close to formation of ice, which could create hydrostatic pressure as well.
Okay.
What I would do is, it's accessible for you. It's not finished inside, right?
On the inside? No, it's not.
Okay, good. So I would do the caulking and, the spring will tell. It's not going to damage anything if water comes in anyway. So what you just don't want is any water to come into the panel and create any rust to the breakers. But as far as materials was concerned, I don't think you're going to have any issues.
Okay, so now there's the conduit that has a hole at the bottom to drain the water from the pipe on the inside, right? Mm-hmm. Should that be a concern if, say, the snow level or even the water level goes halfway to that level? Would water seep in through that hole that's supposed to be a drainage?
Drainage for what? I just didn't get it.
There's a conduit that where the large wires go in, and it's like a rectangular tubular.
Yeah.
Conduit, and there's a hole at the bottom, and you mentioned to me that's for if there's any condensation in there for water to drain.
That's only condensation. That's not gonna, if there's any issues of water infiltration, it's gonna come through the hole itself. So that's not gonna be any help to you.
oh, it's not going to come through that little hole there, even if the water level surpasses the conduit?
Well, I'm just saying your weak point is not in that area. Your weak point is really on around, between what's between the mortar and the tube itself. That's really where the water is going to come in, and there's nothing there to, you know, to make the water drain. So anything that is going to accumulate and touch this area, you're going to run the risk of having water infiltration. But what I'm saying is try it with a caulking. Do not go with a mortar. That's not going to work. And in the spring, just keep an eye on it, especially in the spring thaw when things are really melting fast.
How's that, Robert?
So the other option was for me, I'm insisting on him to just redo another hole about 3 inches higher and just reinstall it. Of course, there's a cost associated to that.
Yes. I do get it. But now that's going to require you to remove that conduit from the foundation and patch that hole, which is, again, this is not going to be just a regular patch, right?
Right.
Because it have to be watertight as well. So you're going to create another weak spot, which is the hole that the guy already did the coring in. So that's an additional expense that you have to factor in as well. You should not keep a conduit there for no reason.
Okay. Thank you.
Good luck, Robert. Thank you. 514-790-0800-911. We'll sneak in one more here before we break at 9:15 for our road report. Yvonne, is that you?
Yes, it's me.
All right. In Longueuil, you have a toilet issue?
Yeah. When I flush the toilet, the water doesn't go down. It just sits there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm by myself. I don't have somebody to take me to the store and buy me a new toilet. It's my own home, and I'm wondering what can be done on the guts inside. Maybe there's something there that's no good.
This might not be a problem with the toilet itself. Does the flushing work adequately, like sinks turn inside and just doesn't drain through?
No, it just, like, you know, you go to the washroom and then it doesn't, you flush it and the water just sits there and then slowly it goes down.
Okay, so you might have a just blocked drain or partially blocked drain.
Okay.
Your toilet might not be the issue at all, actually. Mm-hmm. So what I would do is if you don't have a fish yourself...
Well, I'm going to the store, you know, and I was looking at the parts.
I mean, if you can pass a fish through there just to make sure that the drains are clear, that should solve probably 90% of your problem right there. I don't think it's a problem with the toilet itself. It's just a partially blocked drain somewhere. So once that is taken care of, you should not have any problem. The other issue, and that it's not, you know, going to the plumbing store is when they're really going to help you. It could be a blocked plumbing vent on the roof. Okay? And I know usually that happens and occurs more during the winter when you have accumulation of snow around those pipes.
Yeah.
But believe it or not, in the summer we've seen it where birds create nests around those areas and they actually block it that way. So
what's that got to do with the roof?
Because if your the toilet, when it needs to flush, it needs to suck in air to create that movement,
the
suction movement, right?
Yeah.
So if the plumbing vent is blocked, you're not going to have that, and that's going to create you flushing problems. Your plumbing vents are visual from the street, you can actually check this out without having to go up to the roof. You just have to walk away.
I can't go. I'm 80 years old. I mean,
we would not want you to go up on the roof, that's for sure. But what I'm saying is...
I would like to do is go to the store, get a new toilet, and install it.
Okay. But here's your issue. If you get a new toilet and your problem is a plumbing vent, it's going to do exactly the same problem. So I don't want you to buy a toilet for nothing. You follow me?
Yeah.
It could just be a question of a blocked plumbing vent on the roof. And that could be easily solved. Anybody that can go up to the roof and just clean this area up for you, that would be fine. If you want to know for sure if that's the case.
It's my own home. And around here, nobody helps, so I just don't bother. You know what I mean?
Well, you'd have to sort of hire someone.
Yeah, call a handyman or something. Or it could be just, like I said, a partially blocked drain, and then any plumber could come and definitely fix this for you. So what I'm trying to say, buying a new toilet might not be the way for you. It might not solve your problems. I don't want you to pay twice. So have that checked out first.
Start with the fish, I guess, right?
Start with the fish.
Yeah.
That's
well, where do I get that fishing
I mean,
thing?
You could rent them in the stores, all kind of stores. They rent them. Simplex rent them as well.
Yeah.
Lutec rent them. So you have a lot of different places where you can rent them. But what I'm also trying to tell you is there's before you go that route either, just see if you can see the plumbing vents on your roof from the street visually. Sometimes they're very... you can see them clearly on top of the roof. Just make sure there's nothing on top of it, because if there's a bird nest or anything like that, it's going to be visual to you from the street.
Right. Yeah.
No, but the thing is, if there's two pieces in that toilet or three guts, and when I go to the store, there's a Walmart has a plumbing section. So if I buy another piece, it doesn't matter.
Well, it might not be the issue, like Walter's saying, right? You start by I would start by the fishing expedition, and that could solve the problem.
You're
right there.
You're going all out when you might not need to do
exactly.
So.
Yeah,
just we're trying to save you some costs.
Yeah.
How big is that fishing thing?
It's nothing. It's just it looks like a snake, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And you stick it down the toilet, and you see if anything's blocking it. That's where you should start, Yvonne, and then you could take it from there.
Can I ask you another question?
Yeah, quickly, though. We have to go.
My side door of my house doesn't have the right door, and the cold air comes in to go downstairs.
Okay, so what's the question?
Just to insulate it for the winter. My son said foam.
Well, if you're going to foam it, you're not going to be able to open it up again. If your ceiling between the box...
Yeah.
Between the box and the door itself, right?
Yeah.
Now, what you could do is there are those plastic pellicles that you can buy, and that you can install from the inside without having to put foam, and it's ugly and, you know, it doesn't
look good. And what are they called?
Plastic pellicles for cold. They sell them in the hardwood stores.
Okay.
So you can install them. They stick into the door itself, and they prevent
keep the draft out. Eh?
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Yvonne. Good luck. Thanks for listening.
Bye
now. It's 9:17. More with Walter. More of your phone calls. 514-790-0800. Walter Assey from Renovco is here for the entire hour, as always, on the Home Improvement Show.
You might just need to tighten the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Answering your calls and questions is Walter Assey from Renovco. We're going to go straight to, I want to call up the right line here. Stand by. It's Donna out in Vaudreuil. Right, Donna?
Yes, it is. I've got a question about my garage floor. It's got cracks in it, not very big ones. What's the best DIY product to buy, and what's the best paint to put on the floor?
Hmm.
So... What you would need is some type of epoxy crack filler, because it's also it have a sandable option to it. So if you over apply, you can sand it down. That would probably be the best. Now, one product that I like, and I'm not saying it's the only product that is out there that you could use, Rust-Oleum Concrete Patch and Repair. The reason I'm saying that is because it usually is made to have certain flexibility to it, so it doesn't crack, and it's easily applicable for DIYs. Plus, you could sand it if you over apply. So I would go with that for sure.
And for the paint, I assume it would be an epoxy paint.
It's not a paint. Now we're talking about the injection of the crack. Okay, let's just
make
a big distinction between the two. I'm talking about your cracks. And the cracks up to half an inch, that product would work. Now, if you have anything bigger than that, then we're having a different story altogether. So the most important thing is to determine the thickness of the crack, the depth of it, the width of it as well. If it's within the normal cracks that we see in garages, up to half an inch, Rust-Oleum should work.
Okay.
Anything bigger than that, we're looking at other, might be bigger underlying problems that we need to investigate a bit more. But with the normal cracks that happen due to wear and tear, that should work for you. Now, what you apply on top of it is completely up to you. Now, you can go with epoxy resin, you can go with epoxy floors, you could go with many things. If you go epoxy paint, I should say. Now, when you go with epoxy resin, the good thing with it is you could hide a lot of these cracks through the epoxy resin application because it have a seal to it. So you might, if you're going to go that route, you might not even need to do that before because the guy who's going to do the work for you will do all of these preparations ahead of time.
Well, I'm the gal that's going to do the work.
Okay. So that's a different story. But epoxy resin is not as easy. So it's not a DIY thing. If you're doing a DIY, then this is what you do. You're gonna go with a Rust-Oleum, and just go with epoxy paint on the floor. But make sure that the slab is well cleaned, well degreased, well dried before you apply your paint.
Donna, did you get some good references on your work?
Absolutely. That's why I'm going to tackle it at my house. I used everybody else as my guinea pigs.
Very good. All right. Good.
Let us know how it goes.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Donna. Okay. Bye-bye. 9:26. We have time before news to sneak in another one, and it's going to be Susan out in Montreal West. Hi, Sue.
Hi. How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm living in a house built in '46 with a mansard roof. Mm-hmm. We never had problems with leakage into the house until about 4 years ago. So the roof was replaced in the front. The roofer put in a 6-foot membrane. The window to my bedroom is in that section of the roof. I came home from Florida to find my wall 3 years ago full of water, held in by the paint. I guess it was good we used good enough paint. Had it all redone. Last year, my husband had to call someone to chop the ice on the roof. It has ice buildup, I guess, because of our melt and thaw and whatever. And lo and behold, this winter, same thing again, water again under the roof. So roofer came. He said it's not the roof. Maybe it needs caulking around the window. Last week, I went into the living room, and sure enough, all the living room paint, which is below my bedroom, is peeling, not quite at the level, at the side of the window, further in, about a foot and a half in from the edge of the wall. So now not sure how to handle this, because obviously there's been leakage underneath my carpet or underneath my flooring. Is that what would have happened? There's like a river running under, the water is running into the living room ceiling?
No. So here's the main thing that you told us at the beginning of the call, which gave us all the answers that we were looking for. You said it's a mansard roof.
Yes.
Now, mansard roofs, to begin with, are not roofs that should have been built in this country at all. Okay, and especially in this province with the bad weather we have. They ventilate terribly, and they're not really designed for our weather in any shape or form. So most of these roofs have chronic issues. Why? It's because it's too much of a long span from the bottom of the soffit to go all the way to the attic itself and ventilate.
Right.
For that reason, what we do when we change roofs, and good roofers that look at any roofer that doesn't go into your attic and check your attic is not a good roofer.
Okay.
That's a roofer that's only looking to replace your shingles, and that's not what you want. You want someone to understand the whole system, specifically when it's a mansard roof.
Okay. Let me just explain.
Sure. Your potential main problem is lack of ventilation in your attic, because that is a 90% issue of mansard roofing. If you look at most problems in mansard roofs, which creates ice damming and this and that and the other thing, it's usually due to lack of ventilation. So for that, there's a remedy. It's called the ridge vent.
A ridge vent
or a fascia vent, if you wish.
And a ridge vent?
Yes. So it's a vent that is installed at the top of the roof towards the fascias, on the shingles actually, but on the horizontal, vertical part of the mansard roof, right almost at the top of it. So what that does, it allows the air, more ventilation to come in and ventilate the actual attic.
I think we have those. So my husband's question, I've been in this house for 50 years. I've never had anything happen until the last 4 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, when you first build them, they're not as problematic. It's accumulation of time. I'm not saying maybe there's no mistake done in the roofer's work. Don't get me wrong. There could be that. But I'm just telling you what a mansard chronic issue is. It's the ventilation. So we want to make sure that we have that. Now, and then the second thing you want to look at is how much insulation we have in the attic.
Tons.
So that also might be an issue, because over-insulating could create blocked soffits. We will probably have to break for news, and we can, if you want, take you after and just continue talking about
it. Sue, hang on the line. All right, we'll get news.
Great.
All right,
thank
don't
you.
Go anywhere. Let me put you on hold. It's 9:30. Let's head to the newsroom on CJAD 800.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
We managed to hit 15 degrees. 23 is going to be a high today. A nice sunny Saturday here to wrap up the month of September. 9:37. Just going to bring Sue in just to wrap up with her. Hi, Sue. Hang on.
Hi.
Walter, pick it up.
Yeah. Sue.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have three vents in the roof.
Okay.
And my husband wanted to know if drilling holes in the soffit would create the possibility of, I guess, letting whatever the moisture is drip out.
Okay.
And
so
who does?
One thing at a time.
Okay.
You're probably talking about the maximum ventilations on top of the roof.
Right.
I'm talking about the perimeter intake of ventilation. So what these maximums on top can only work if they have an air intake, so they have to take air in. And usually that air is taken in through the soffits.
Right.
In a mansard roof, the soffits are way too low, so it's a long trajectory to go from the soffits all the way to the attic, and that's why they are problematic roofs.
Okay.
Yeah. Having said that, the ridge vents that I'm talking about are vents that are installed like I said, on the vertical sections of a mansard roof, high above, in order to help that roof breathe better.
On the vertical side or the horizontal?
Vertical side, the side that you see from the street.
I see. Okay, so the vents go there. Okay, got it.
That is correct, okay?
Do you do this? Do you know somebody?
We do, but any roofer does, including possibly the roofer that did your work, because you told me you have. Here's where I'm going to caution you. If your roof is young and still under warranty, you want that guy to touch your roof again and not any other contractor. As soon as any contractor make holes in your roof, you void your warranty. So I wouldn't want you to be calling us or anybody else but this guy, so you can keep your warranty in action. But this time you're going to guide him through what needs to be done in order to solve the problem. Now, there's certain things you might want to do yourself or get someone that you know that can, you know, maybe go into your attic and check out what's going on. Usually,
we can't
there's
really get into the attic. My husband is 80, I'm 78, and I'm not going in. There's no real access to the attic except through a crawl, like you have to go up on a ladder and in. So somebody could go into the attic.
Good.
But
so,
not me.
If you know of any person that is handy in your family, young and strong and can do that, that's great, because you will see, or even the roofer himself, he can go into the attic and see where the water is coming in from. You see water stains, you see marks, you know, there are telltale signs. Just so you know what's going on. By doing so, you can pinpoint where the situation is, because sometimes it's just in one area of the roof that's not getting adequate ventilation, and you can just attack this one area that could have a block soffit due to the tons of insulation that you talked to me about.
Yeah. So how would they see the water if there's insulation there? They're going to have to pull back all the...
I don't care about the water that's coming in and the insulation. I care about what's showing on my plywood as stains of the roof.
Okay. So it would be on the side of the plywood because you won't see the floor because the insulation is there and a lot of it is...
I don't care about that. This is not what I'm looking at. I'm looking at the point of entry of the roof. Under your shingles, there's plywood. And that's where the water will come in first, and that's where you will see the stains. So it's far away from your insulation. These are the areas that shows you where the problematic areas on the roof are, because they would have water stains.
Susan, we have to run. I hope that was some help.
I thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. We'll go right to Jules near the Big O, it says here. Hi, Jules.
Hi, how you doing?
Very good. You want to talk to Walter about your balcony?
Yeah, I'm a third floor, and the balcony, it cannot drip water because there's another balcony under, so it has to be imperméable. And I'm wondering, and all my frame is in metal at 24-inch pan. And I'm wondering what I could put on top of that so there's no leakage and it could receive with my metal frame. What could I put on that?
If you want something that is well worth it as far as budget is concerned, installation time, if you want durability, I would go with a fiberglass balcony. Fiberglass. That's 100%.
Okay, it's just my balcony is very big.
How big?
And I don't think they can deliver this thing here because there's electric wire and...
when you say big, name big for me.
8 by 16 with another extension of 4 by 15.
Okay, so they can, there's potentially they can do it in two different sections. Okay. And we've done balconies that are even bigger than that with fiberglass.
Okay.
That's why I would say maybe you should be calling a fiberglass installer. Now, if that doesn't work for XYZ reason because you can't get a crane in there or what have you, your other option would be to go with an elastomeric type membrane on top of wood decking. That will also work. Okay. So these two systems really are your best systems if you want to have no problems.
Hmm.
Okay, so let's talk about the elastomer.
Yeah.
I have to put plywood first and then that membrane?
Correct.
And what's the finish on that? Because the house is getting up in value and everything, so I don't want something... it doesn't sound good to me to have like a membrane on there.
Well, you don't just keep it as a membrane. There is many things that you will do after that, meaning you do the membrane, and that's just what's going to protect your wood from leaking, but you can't walk on a membrane. You cannot come in with your high heels or whatever. I'm not saying that you wear high heels, but I'm just saying that whoever, those membranes are not made to be used for traffic. So what you do is you buy those plastic bases and you put them on top of it and you kind of separate them, and then you could build any type of decking you want. It could be Trex, it could be wood, it could be you name it, you could do it.
Okay, that's interesting. So
it's a more costly scenario. That's why I went with the fiberglass first.
Because
it will cost you a fraction of what this whole system of different things. Because the fiberglass, what's good about it gives you the impermeability that you want.
Yes.
But it's also giving you a finish at the same time. So you don't need to do anything on top of it.
Yes, I get it. Okay, another question. 25 years ago, I did my own fiberglass on this floor.
Mm-hmm.
But my house is facing south, so there's a lot of sun, and all the fiberglass, it didn't last. It lasted like 5-6 years at that time. I put something back on it,
yeah.
But I made it myself, so maybe it was not made good at that time, but is the fiberglass made to
25 years what usually 25 years is what they usually give you as warranty, most manufacturers, depending on the brand.
Even with the big the sun from the
top. So let me explain you something. When they give you a warranty, the warranty is based on their worst case condition scenario. So okay. they don't give you a warranty on a dark area with not a lot of water. They usually test their products in the worst case conditions.
So they take into account everything.
Bravo.
Yeah.
So if they get, if they tell you it's 10 years or 15 years, it's because they've tested it in all kind of conditions and all kind of exposure and non-exposure.
Jules, we have to run. Hope that was some help for you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Good luck with the balcony. All right, 9:45. We're going to come right back with Walter and more of your phone calls.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Morning. We're going to go right back to the phone here at 514-790-0800. It's Ken Connors alongside Walter Assey from Renovco. Helena, is that you?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. I have a stupid problem in the house. The tank of the toilet of my kids, sometimes it fills and sometimes doesn't. After you flush, does not fill it again sometimes. So I happen to turn the bottom of the key on the bottom. I figuring maybe I had closed and nothing happened. So my hands were dirty. I had to go back down in the kitchen. I washed my hand and the water went in the tank. Start again. Happened after a few weeks, or better say a few months because my kids doesn't come all the time. The water did it again. It's not all the time, only sometime happened, this situation that the water, the tank doesn't fill. So I open the same faucet, nothing happened. And then I open the shower, and the water starts again in the tank. I don't understand. And now I call a plumber to be fixed, but I don't know exactly what is the problem of the tank.
All right.
It could simply be just a problem with the floater itself. So what you just need to do is ensure that this mechanism is working properly. Sometimes it's just something is dislodged or loose. But usually when the tank is not filling up, it's a floater issue more than anything else.
Right.
Or the gasket at the bottom is not closing adequately to allow it to fill back up. So it could, if you're calling in a plumber, it could be a very quick fix for you.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I did because I'm fed up and the kids wouldn't come.
Sure.
The water doesn't go.
Of course.
Yeah.
I have another two toilets, so for me that it's not an issue, that toilet.
It's a question of a very quick fix from a plumber or someone that understands plumbing. You don't necessarily need a plumber for that. But it doesn't look to me like a major issue at all.
That's
only
good,
one of two things.
That's good news, Helen. It's not a big problem.
So,
all right.
I hope we can fix it once and for all.
Yes.
Not I keep on having the same stupid
Absolutely.
Problem because they complain.
Thank you for the call, Helena.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye now. I'm going to go to Guy, who's been waiting out in Laval. Hi, Guy.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I got a situation in the bathroom. About a month ago, I removed all the caulking in the shower because it was starting to get black a little bit. And so I wanted to do like a fresh job, but there was no smell at all when I removed the caulking. After I did that, I cleaned up where there was some kind of mold with vinegar and the bicarbonate de soude there to mm-hmm. remove the bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
I let it dry for about a day and a half with a fan blowing in the shower. After that, I re-caulked all the where there's caulking to be done with a... It's not a silicone, but it's like something supposedly better than silicone. So I did the whole job all around it. And after about maybe 2 weeks, then I started to have smell. And the smell stayed there till still then. And it's a really strong smell. So I'm thinking there's mold all around in the shower. But I looked all the caulking I did, and it looks, honestly, it looks pretty good. I don't see I missed anything or... But I'm wondering what the problem is.
So, Guy, your shower that you're telling me about, is it a ceramic base and a ceramic wall shower or acrylic shower?
It's all ceramic, yes.
Okay. And when was that shower built?
Built probably 7 years ago, maybe.
7 years ago. Do you know what type of membrane was used when the shower was built?
No.
Okay.
We just bought it.
So,
yeah, we bought it. It was already there when we bought the house.
Okay. I heard someone was whispering in your ears, giving you all the answers. Yeah. All right, Guy. So what you're going to do is very simple. What this might be, and that's very common, is when they build a shower, they did not use the adequate membrane or they did not install the membrane correctly. Okay? Now, okay. If you want to know that if there's mold behind the walls, usually you could call any person that does fire and flood restoration, any company that does fire and flood restoration work. They have specialized instruments and equipment, and they could measure the humidity in your walls. Now, typically when we do that, we take in the dry standard in the shower, which is higher up in areas where it does not receive water, and we compare it to the bottom of your shower where the caulking, where the base meets the wall, which is usually the weakest point in the shower. And we see if there's any, we compare the readings. More often than not, when this is not adequate, you will find extremely elevated readings, sometimes up to 100%, which means that there's seepage. So seepage, that means through the grout itself, the water will come in and touch the backing of the drywall or the hydrofuge drywall or the cement board, and you know where in areas where the base meets the wall, if you had any weakness in the caulking itself, water will seep through. In this case, then that means that you have cavity mold, and you know you cleaning and caulking is going to be only temporary until the mold comes out again. So there is a way for you to know without a shadow of a doubt if that is the problem. And that's unfortunately a very common problem because some contractors don't know how to install membranes. Or they use the wrong membrane, or they don't put a membrane at all. I mean, we've seen it all, right?
Okay.
So that's really what you would have to do in order to eliminate that possibility.
Okay. So basically, I need to call like a company that will be able to detect if there's mold behind the wall.
Correct.
And then go from there. If there is, then they need to be like redone, right?
I mean, depend what the issue is, right? It depends what the issue is. But if the membranes were not installed adequately, there's not much you could do, unfortunately. Unless you want to, I mean, you want to get rid of the mold too. So I would tell you, sometimes you would call Bain Magique or something just to put an enclosure. But it looks, you know, it looks more commercial and it's not going to solve the issue of the mold behind the walls, which you would want to get rid of at the same time.
Okay, so the mold, let's say there's mold behind the wall, it's always going to stay there. It's not going to...
Exactly, and that's the problem with mold. That's the problem with mold. It's not like asbestos. If mold, if you don't bother it, it keeps on growing and expanding and spreading. So that's why we want to get rid of it.
Guy, we're up against the clock. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now. It's 9:58, 2 minutes to go before news, and Lisa's in with the car show. Walter, great hour.
Thank you.
We put him to work on his return, and it
yeah,
was
no kidding. Put him to work.
Get him a towel. It's Ken Connors, Jimmy. Thank you so much. We're back tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock on Weekends with Ken.